Music interviews start. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the channel. I've got a really awesome guest today. I've got a band, Cadillac Coffin. And if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about your band and kind of how you guys came together, that's probably a good place to start.
Yeah, so Cadillac Coffin was originally put together, like I started putting it together about 12 years ago. And it just never could get off the ground. It was always such an immense project. And here within this last year, I built a studio and basically I burned my boats. I decided to make a decision, and I was like, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go in, you know, and I invested everything I had in it, and turn around and, I started, searched high and low for musicians. And oddly enough, I came across these guys, which are literally literally within like a 5-minute walking distance of this place. And it's been, we just instantly gelled. Our first rehearsal, we captured the magic like right off the bat, which is super rare. I've played, hundreds and hundreds of shows with bands that have, we might've captured the magic like maybe once or twice, in all the shows that we played. And we hit it like our very first rehearsal. And I was like, man, I was like, if we can do it like half of what we just did live, we're golden. Like it's, I started this with the intention of helping bands, of being able to help out other artists and, be able to provide, not only like, someone to be able to jam out with and be able to have fun with, but also to be able to like all the music that we write, it's all about real life experience. And it's about, things that we've either really experienced in life or have experienced, like had loved ones experience. And, we've all had it firsthand. So it's, really about, helping people identify with, with what it is that we sing about, whether it's, a current event or, whether it's like, mental illness or something like that. It's, we try to write about, that kind of stuff. But, it originally started, a long, long time ago, but it didn't actually kick off until maybe three months ago. So it's been,
that's awesome. And where are you guys from?
Louisville, Texas.
All right. What part of Texas is that?
So we're in northern northern Dallas, Texas. It's just north of Dallas. Probably about 15 miles north of Dallas.
Nice. That's awesome. And so this is I guess one of the first. I've only had a couple of bands on the show before, so this is pretty cool. And you were saying you've played a lot of shows, which I definitely want to get into. But first, I want to get into like the writing process that you guys specifically have with the music. Like, how does that go about? Does someone have like an idea? Do they bring it to the group? Is it already written? Like, talk to me a bit about that.
So it's been a little weird. Here lately, we started collaborating, but for the most part, I've already had. I went through for years. I've had hundreds of ideas recorded and, for bits and pieces of songs. And I had a handful of them that I knew were like these little gems. And I was like, I'm going to save those. I'm going to wait for the right time to release these or to be able to finish these. And it wasn't until I started putting this together that I started actually, completing those songs and getting them released. They've gotten some pretty good attention so far, and we've been blessed here lately because our writing abilities have been like, me and Dee were up here one night and I've had this idea for like this crazy kind of like, almost like Western / classical style, like almost like very Unforgiven-ish kind of song, and me and Dee like knocked this thing out and like.
10 minutes.
Like we knocked it out like 10 minutes. Yeah, we had to play it a couple of times. It was but it was like it's just all of a sudden like there's, I don't know, we have this ability to where like we're not even really communicating what we're doing. It's just we just sit down and we knock it out and all of a sudden it works. So it's the first time in a very long time that's happened. And the last two bands I was with, one of them we fast tracked, we kind of reverse engineered a band. And we took off like a rocket ship, and we were in Vegas on our third show at House of Blues main stage, getting shot by CBS Records, and it was wild. We had Eddie Griffin introduce us, and he joined us for a cameo for Ain't No Sunshine, and we partied with him for 4 days. It's crazy, but I mean, this is like the first time, even despite like all the exposure and stuff that we had as far as with that, this is like the first time in like, I'd say the better part of a decade, that's like literally like, you know, we just meet up, we sit down, we pick up our instruments and just like make magic happen. It's
pretty That's cool. awesome. It's that chemistry, man. That chemistry is super important. It doesn't happen with everybody.
No, it does. It's hard to find. I mean, I've auditioned probably the better part of like 2,000 members for Cadillac Coffin over the last 10 years. And it has been, you know, just like pulling teeth and, you know, finding people that are, you know, dedicated to their craft, you know, really, you know, not perfectionists, but are really care about, you know, sounding good and knowing that, you know, knowing that they're playing their best. And, you know, they're, you know, between that and the myriad of flakes, and then, you know, people trying to sabotage and stuff like that, which is something we've dealt with here recently. That's just, you know, weeding out the wrong people, getting the right people in. It's, you know, it's been tough.
But, man, it sounds like quite the journey you guys have had just to get the lineup that you've currently got.
Oh yeah, it's been it's been extensive.
Yeah. So let's talk about playing shows. A lot of people, like nowadays when they start making music, they kind of do it on their computer, which is cool. Everybody's got their own thing. It's so easy to make music like in the box, you know, like on a computer, DAW, all that good stuff. But a lot of people miss out on the experience of playing live. They don't really go through that process yet. And I remember like it used to be backwards. It used to be play live shows, play a bunch of bad live shows, and then go try to record a bunch of bad music. You know what I'm saying? You kind of go through the process. And a lot of people are missing out on that nowadays because the technology is so accessible. But could you kind of let some people know that are kind of new to music or maybe haven't played a live show? Like what are some things that you feel like people are missing out on by not playing live?
Everything. It's you can be a really good, you can be a good studio band, you know, and you can have fun in the studio, but there's nothing like, especially like, even if you're, you know, even as a cover band, I've been in cover bands before, but you know, the cover bands were fun, but when you're playing your own music, and you're writing original music and you get out and you are able to connect with a crowd and they identify with what it is that you wrote and they're feeling it and you're feeding off their energy. And it's like, especially like, you know, that's one of the reasons I love, you know, melodic music and I love, you know, making melodic metal and stuff like that, is that it's very, it's gripping for the listener. It's something that's, you know, that they can't help but feel. And if they, you know, and for me, I'm like, if I don't feel it, you know, like during the writing process, it'll never make a live show or it'll never make a record or anything like that. It's, you know, everything that I write, like, you know, when you get the goosebumps, you know, if I don't get that feeling, I don't put it out. And so like playing live, you get to feed off of their energy. And a lot of people were freaked out by thinking like, you know, like, oh my God, you know, they're, you know, what if people, you know, don't like us or anything like that? I'm like, well, they all came out to watch you. You know, there's a, you know, odds are, if as long as you're good at what you do, they're going to love it. You know, as long as it sounds good, then don't even worry about it. Don't even give it another thought. Don't get trapped in your head. And that's the, you know, missing out on that is like, that's a huge thing. Like, and that's what I hated about the pandemic was like, you know, we just did without, you know, 2.5 years of, you know, income really. You know, it's like, it's been really tough for a lot of bands, and a lot of bands didn't make it. You know, it was, you know, they wound up having to, you know, they were quarantined for so long, and then thank God they started doing the virtual bands and stuff like that and online collaborations. And, you know, heck, if it wasn't for TikTok, I don't know what anybody would do. But if it's, you know, it's but the I mean, it's just out of sheer boredom, right? I mean, it was just really tough. I was stuck in South Carolina, absolutely miserable. And that's when I started writing for, as a matter of fact, that's when I started writing Judas Jinx. And because I was so pissed off about what was going on, watching people get arrested for going to Walmart. Like, it was just crazy, absolutely insanity. And so I was, you know, being able to, like, all I wanted to do was be able to get a band put together while I was there. and start playing shows. And they're like, oh no, you're on lockdown unless it's necessary. Like, you're not allowed to leave your house. I'm like, I don't remember them doing this in Texas. Like, so I was very happy to get back here. And as soon as I got back to Texas, it was like, things were still a little constrained, but it wasn't anything like it was in other states. It was it was a lot easier to be able to start, you know, talking with people and, you know, and starting to get things lined out. That's when I started building another studio as soon as I moved back. That was like, you know, but yeah, that's the whole name of the game. Like, I've been fighting tooth and nail so I could get out there and start playing live shows. Cause when you're a really good live band, like, there's a talent that you have that other, like, the studio musicians that only focus on the studio that don't have. It's because you're also a showman, you're part actor, you're part, you're living that image of what everybody wants you to be. And so, like, for those, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, or if you're a headliner and get out, you know, hour to hour and a half, you know, you have, you know, that amount of time to be able to give them everything you've got. And then hopefully have enough energy to load up and hit the next city. That's, you know, and then do it all over again. So but that's the name of the game. That's what they're missing out on, is like, there's nothing else like it.
There's not really a better way to connect with fans either. You know what I'm saying? You're never going to get as excited listening something on like YouTube as you would like experiencing it in person.
Oh yeah. Cause you can feel the air coming off the amplifiers. I mean, there's like, especially when you're like right up next to the stage, like, I remember I was with this hardcore band back in, I guess it was like 99, 2000. And I mean, I give Pantera all the props in the world, but we were the only band, I think, that was probably heavy enough to where we would at least come close to rivaling Pantera. And it was more like, you know, Sepultura meets like Soulfly plus Pantera plus, you know, a lot of other stuff. And it was just a really, really crazy band, wicked heavy. And the first note that we would all strike, our hair would literally move from just the blow from the amplifiers. It was incredibly loud, but oh my God, it was just like this surge of adrenaline every time that we played it. And it never got old, ever. And it was like, if the crowd wasn't paying attention at that point, you had their attention then. I mean, we opened up for Deicide. We're literally pulling in, like, you know, tons of people from their crowd because we were on a side stage, and literally, like, we were sucking so much power, there were tripping breakers and we wouldn't stop playing. And it was those are the kind of experiences that, like, people, you know, there are people are really missing out on. And I really want to see, like, you know, venues really start opening back up and really start, you know, really, you know, helping bands get out there and make some money, because it's, you know, the venues are hurting, but so are the bands. You know, like, when bands are always the ones that wind up getting the shaft. It's like, oh yeah, you got your $50. Like, what am I going to do with that? Like, buy a half a pizza and freaking, you know, I have just enough gas maybe to get halfway to where I need to go. It's just, especially now, it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm hoping that the things will be able to change here pretty soon for the better.
Yeah, I do too, man. It's tough. Like, I, you know, you don't hear a lot about, like, you know, independent bands touring right now, just because we're coming out of, like, I hope we're coming out of the pandemic. It kind of depends on where you're living, you know, but like, just like driving from one town to the next, you know, with gas being so expensive, like, puts such a strain on everything.
Yeah, we really, like, I was real blessed to be able to get the gear that I have. And I really, like, I was all about, you know, having, you know, full stacks. And, you know, when you know, you're willing out, you know, it's always impressive, you know, like when you're a band and you're watching, like, you know, a headline or something like that, roll out, you know, six full stacks, and, you know, it's got a wall of amplifiers behind them. I mean, it always looks really impressive, but, you know, number one, you're the one unloading it. Number two,
that's true.
Haul it, you know, with gas prices, how they are today. I was like, like, I'm not going that route again. Like, that's, you know, number one, my back can't take that anymore. And number two, like, I don't have the room. Like, I mean, just, and so I started really doing a lot of research into, like, being able to have, like, that same type of sound, you know, for how we had, you know, for having those, but being able to run directly through the PA. And, man, the technology that we have today, like, you know, I use a Headrush, and in the studio, I have the Amplitude 5.
Oh, nice.
I got the Amplitude Max or something like that. It has like every amplifier known to man. Like it's just an incredible program. And then somehow, some way, I'm supposed to be able to use MainStage. I haven't figured out how to use that yet. But it's supposedly it's almost kind of like an easy form of Logic that's aimed for live shows. But I can be able to use Amplitude for that. So really, it's just getting controllers for that, and we can have, you know, we can have the best sound that we could possibly ever get, you know, minus having, you know, $100,000 worth of amplifiers, you know, but right there, you know, just being able to control with a MIDI controller.
Be more consistent than
$100,000 of amplifiers. And we'll sound exactly like how we do on the album. So it's for what they hear on the album is exactly what they'll be able to, we can duplicate live. So it's pretty impressive, but that's why I have so many guitarists. I have, you know, we're missing one guitarist right now and a bassist. And because we should have three guitarists, and if not four, but the bassist will be like kind of flip flopping between guitar and bass.
That's awesome. Yeah, technology's come a long way. I remember like everybody used to like make fun of like Line 6 and stuff like that, but man, like it's gotten so close.
Yeah,
it's like almost like, you know, you got to weigh those options now. It's like it's a big difference, you know.
Never know the difference, like, you know, a musician would be like,
yeah,
sounds like a plug-in, you know, it might be, you know, is that a tube amp or is that a sim? That might be an impulse response, you know. It's you're guessing, you know. You have to wonder, like, oh, is that there's some programs out there that sound so unique that it's a kind of a dead ringer. But man, for the most part, like, it's really yeah, I mean, they're so realistic. It's incredible, and just the amount of detail that they went into to doing that, for all of mic measurements and, like, you know having a room, you know, identical to what you're looking at, and, you know, all the audio reflections coming off the walls, the natural reverbs for the overheads and stuff like that. I mean, you can go all the way to, like, you know, measuring as far as like what angle that you have the microphone at, you know, aimed inside of the cone. I mean, it's incredible as far as so much detail went into that. I don't know if you've ever used Amplitude or not, but it's
a lot. You could choose the mic, where it's going, all that stuff, which is crazy. And it's pretty cool. And what I wanted to do is I want to shift gears just for a second, because I know you guys probably have a lot of crazy stories, you know, either in this band or like before, maybe if you're in other bands. But I don't know if you guys have like a crazy, like, show story, or like was something went wrong or something like that you want to share with like the viewers.
Oh, I got a lot of those. anybody else?
I rap too, so I was rapping before this. I played metal before I rapped, and I just met him when I was walking back from the gas station to my apartment. So I was like, yeah, this show's studio, I rap, I produce a little bit, I played metal drums. And he was like, oh, you play metal drums? So, I mean, one time I was rapping on stage. I was like the first one. And then like the mics was cutting out. They could hear me running out of breath, everything. And then like one time I literally started coughing. So just like that. So, you know what I'm saying? It was pretty bad. I got laughed at. Don't want it to happen again. It's pretty fucking terrible.
Oh, man. You got one?
Yeah, but it's not so much for a show.
So much for a show. Oh, lean close to the mic if you don't mind.
Well, it wasn't so much for a show. It was more so for performing. I did some like, you know, some stage acting before. Then I've also played for many other different types of sets, and I'm also cover bands and stuff like that. But one time I forgot all the props that I was supposed to be singing for, and each prop I had a line for to sing for. But instead, I just started saying, I don't have this, in front of every prop that I was supposed to be singing about. And it kept going because we had a live orchestra with it. It was on Pirates of the Penzance. I don't know if you know what that is or familiar with it, but it was crazy.
Oh, man.
I would perform at 7-Eleven while I was doing the clerk duties. Like, I would sing in front of customers. And I got in trouble multiple times. They're like, don't bring your guitar. And I'm like, okay. You know, I bring it in the next day. And, you know, they'd just be looking at me, little thin lips. Like, you know, and the customers are digging it, man. I'm like, I thought they would bring in more customers because they were telling their friends. Like, man, look at this dude playing bar, man. We get a Slurpee, a hot dog, live music for free.
I gave you a big old 2 cent.
But I was on my way home from that job, actually, whenever I got the call to come meet this dude. And
that was a wild night.
That was a wild night. But yeah, night. Anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mainly where my live stuff comes from. And then you know, I get on the podcast a little bit, like live stuff on I don't know if you ever heard of Fatalville off BandLab, Angified, stuff like that. It's on YouTube. All kinds of good stuff right there. Good artists, man. A lot of good artists on there.
Really cool.
And yeah, that's where I get a lot of my experience from. Because other than that, man, I'm just writing goofy songs, folk songs. You know, just writing to write. But now I actually have something to put some seriousness into, you know what I mean, and actually go for something. But man, I had a lot of fun, and I'm gonna have a lot more fun, hopefully.
Oh hell yeah!
So, but yeah, I just hope
that's
I'm not,
my rule. If I'm not having fun, we don't do it.
I'm gonna go back to 7-Eleven one day though, and I'm gonna go play a show.
Bring the whole band, man.
No, I mean,
we'll have harmonicas, and
it'd be real loud, you know.
Yeah, picture that, going to 7-Eleven, there's some dude with an acoustic just singing about like dinosaurs or whatever the hell I was singing about that day, you know. I mean, it, you know, I thought it was pretty neat.
That 7-Eleven sounds pretty awesome. I think I'd probably visit that 7-Eleven more often. If there was music there, I'd be tight.
You go get your Slurpees from there for the rest of your life.
Yeah, for free.
100%. They should be paying you, man. That's what they should have been doing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't know a good thing, man. They don't know.
How about you, James? You got any crazy stories from a show?
Yeah. So I had probably the worst experience I had when I split my head open and I got electrocuted. So I'm kind of figuring out which one's worse. But the most painful one was so I split my head open. I was at this we were at this venue, and it was really, really cool. We had played there, I mean, literally probably, I don't know, 100 times, 150 times. And I don't know why I forgot that they have these huge, big wooden boxes that held these TVs. Of course, you know, back then it was like, you know, there was no flat screen. The only flat screen that existed was like 600 pounds. And so they had these gigantic, you know, TVs off the floor inside of these huge wooden boxes. And I don't know why I never noticed, but like the edges and or the corners on these things were like just knives. And, you know, so I'm like jumping around on stage, and I'm a big dude, and I didn't think as far as like where this thing was, and my head just nails this freaking, the corner of it. And, but I have like this, my hair's dyed. It's like, you know, my hair's probably like, I don't know, like just past my shoulder, and it was like blood red already. And so then I have blood actually like just gushing, and people think it's just sweat and hair dye. And I'm like head banging, like so I'm trying like to ignore it, and I'm slinging blood like everywhere, all over. It's like a murder fest. And so, and people are like, but people, you know, there was no like, you know, didn't freak out about crap like that back then. So it was like, you know, they thought it was great. They thought it was a prop. They didn't realize I was like really like freaking hurt. But I had this huge gash in my head, and I still had to. I was only like about halfway through that set, so I still had to do like the whole half. The whole second half of that was just like this throbbing freaking headache, and still, I mean, they bled like a war wound. Like I was like, I lost a lot of blood that show.
Blood tasting.
This is very tinny tasting. It's weird. Blood flavored quartz. And then we were playing I think it's Texas Rock Fest or something like that, and a huge crowd. God, my, that was like my. That was the first time I was ever in front of like 40,000 people. I was like, you know, people looked like ants. And I was like, just on cloud nine. And I was so dramatic. Keep in mind, I'm like 16 years old, 15 years old, something like that. And so there's this thunderstorm that rolls in. And I mean, like, especially down in South Texas, like the storms that roll through, they're brutal. They're fast, but they're freaking brutal. And so it's like this deluge just comes through and just goosh, just freaking, you know, douses the whole place. And I'm thinking like, you know what? It's raining. Why not? I'm going to make this look really cool. I'm going to run out in the rain and just play my solo in the rain. And I didn't think about getting covered with water or the fact that my amp didn't have a ground on it. And so as soon as I walked back up to the mic, I was like, pow, and just like, memes. see you later. Wake up about 5 seconds later, and everyone thought it was part of the show. And so I was like, you know, they were like, you know, I'm like, rather than Jim, like, what happened? Like, what is this happening? They're like, dude, did you see the arc on that mic? And I was like, I didn't see anything. Like, what happened? The mic was like, flash, like, just arced on my face. We were running like 8,000 watts or something like that. It was, I mean, it could have killed me. It was like,
oh my God. Wow. That's a good one, man. That's a good one. I hear a theme. People think it's part of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, people like, when you see something like that happen, it's kind of hard to believe, like, did I just see that happen? Like, did I just watch that guy die and then, you know, he stands up and you're like, oh, it's, you know.
No, it's just metal, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the name of the game. If you could withstand it and you could play it off, then you played it off. But man, once you got backstage, it was, you know, lots of cussing and kicking and screaming and being pissed off, and I'd be like, I burnt my freaking beard off or my mustache or my lip or whatever. It was just, you know, some of the guys, like, you know, they had dreads and stuff like that. I mean, they'd burn their hair, freaking, they just, you hear about all the stuff backstage, but, you know, during the show, I mean, it's like, you know, it's your game face. So you have to, like, it's got to be super focused.
Oh man, that's a crazy one. So let's do this, cause I got probably time for like one more question, cause I know we're going to introduce a track and everything. If everybody can go around and answer, this would be a good one. So this being like a music advice sort of podcast, if you can give advice to like someone that just woke up one day and they wanted to start playing music, what would you tell that person?
This is not cheap. So please do not quit your job and go into this thinking that it's going to be just gumballs and candies, because it's not. It costs a lot of money. So make sure that you get a budget for yourself, plan for the future with your music. Like, when you, like, people go to the studio and record like an hour or so at least, and they won't have nothing written, just go in there and punch it in, punch out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, don't go in like that. Like, have some structure with yourself, because that's what I did. I didn't have no structure, just jumping in, but just have some structure, because not everybody always gets lucky. Sometimes it does have to be just you, like how it was just Odie and he found us and now we're kind of benefiting. So sometimes you will be the OD in the situation. So
that's good.
I don't be the OD.
Plan on being OD. You'll be fine.
So basically the question was like, the people that's going right into playing with a band has never.
They've never done music before. They decided one day they want to wake up and they want to make music. What would you tell that person?
Number one, play with other people, play with other bands, because that is the most thing, so you can know where your energies are. Play often with many other people as that you can. Any opportunity to play with somebody else, that really will get you better acclimated.
You know, my piece of advice is don't think that you're gonna get good overnight. For real. You know, it takes years and years of endless practice. I mean, some people got it naturally. Some people just pick up the guitar or pick up whatever they want to play, and then boom, it's like, oh my God, I want to quit. Don't do that. Don't quit. You just keep at it. If that's something you really want to do, make it happen. Like, you know, it may take a little time, but that's what the name of the game is. I mean, you can't just jump into it, expect one thing, and then be disappointed, and then put your guitar in the corner, and then that's it, because then somebody like me is going to come and buy that guitar or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? But, yeah, just if this is something you want to do, man, just don't give up. That's the best piece of advice I can give.
Tell them, make sure that they want to do it before they do it.
Yeah. No, you want to do it if you want to do it. Like, it's just something you'll know. You know what I mean? If it's something that you just like, well, I don't know. Well, then it probably ain't for you. But, you know, because I was 11 years old. I'm like, I want to play guitar. And, you know, I was 13 before I got a guitar. But, you know, I play guitar, though. I found a way. But, yeah, just don't give up. Just keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, 5 minutes a day. That's all it really takes. Do 5 minutes a day for 6 months. Record yourself and your progress, what you make, and you'll be surprised.
All right, cool, man. That's great advice. We got like 60 seconds for the Zoom session cuts off. But Odie, what do you got, man?
Really, the best advice I could possibly give anybody that wants to do this is invest in yourself. If you believe that you can do it, then prove it to yourself and don't stop. You know, I literally went from I was one of those overnight kids. I literally went from not knowing how to play guitar, and I picked up a book, and I did not stop until I got through the end of it. And that was, I started like 7 o'clock in the evening. I finished at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I literally, from that day forward, every single day, I spent hours and hours and hours advancing myself to where it took me 3 months and I was ready to start playing in bands. I started playing in bands and literally went and, you know, played in front of thousands of people. So I mean, you can do anything that you want to do, but make a decision and stick with it.
There you go. All right, guys, we're going to play the track from Cadillac Coffin. Thank you guys so much.
I wonder where, what is in the city is, where our debts and sorrow. Down the road of your misery, a race to the gallows. So entranced by the lasting romance, like the pipers my state follows. A solitaire, another stella from the land of the cheated Estrasiados. Yeah, now go rinse in your net here, sword consuming, never in my ears. Why never think I can? Well, we can, they're referring the plan. Best of the worst, they foster. But you're the man in the bed of the scam. Serving the life you squander. They crush your dreams, so you bring their disease. Taking these poor scholars. So raise your dream to the kitty free. Sowing the fields for seeds and insanity. On the hands of time, spring weeds of fear. Excusing shed blood and tears. Now remembrance disappears. Now the values broke, the lies made fear. Abhorrent and abusing. Thus it wrapped the broken strings. The fall that went home to me.
Hey, thanks for watching this clip from my podcast. If you're interested in downloading my free music industry strategy guide or being a guest on the show, check out musicadvice.io. Don't forget to subscribe and make music every day. Peace.